lungs are made of cells. And we are billions of cells. So in actuality, cells are sustained by the air pressure, not by the fact that you're breathing into the nostril. So the cells are constricting and dilating the oxygen produced in the lung. Pressure with the cells producing the sensation of tension, constriction, and dilation. And that makes the resonance of the sound, high pitch frequency movement, creative word. Constricts and eliminates unwanted toxins in the system. A sense of buoyancy and ecstasy is what the yogis call ananda, or vitality. Is all there is. H-E-A-L-T-H. God is all there is. And has become you, providing you with individuality, sense of consciousness, and awareness in the experience. Individuality is your opportunity. Your experience. Your uniqueness. Therefore, we don't have soul, we are soul. We can't use our bodies or our individualities to save our souls. So let us believe that. But you can use your sense of identity with the soul to free the body from its frustrations due to incorrect decisions. There are no sins. There are just incorrect decisions that we have to live out. And through them, we gain compassion by making a mistake. We are not self-punishment. God is to be done. But we have to live with those ideas programmed into us from the centuries of agricultural living. So we come to the technological living, space living, the actual living. It's only the reality of yourself. Freedom. read of it. And just hearing you talk about it, you feel it. Actualize it. Let your body do it. So, one teacher says, phosphorize the own dynamites. Phosphorus glows. It shines even in the dark. You can't hide it. So some people call it aura. But this biothermal radiation glowing state, you are endowed over all other forms of creation with the resonant sonics that you're hearing from my mouth and calling it a damn doctrine is the resonant God in all of us. And you are talking and I'm hearing the American God in you communicating back. So sonics for a word, the only power and resident in this form has dominion of ownership over all the atomic structures. Man in them now, this manifestation in them now, never fully. So, have dominion by the spoken word and live it, actualize it, not be afraid of it. That's why they used to say years ago, a person is one of the greatest word. American Indian in this country lived it a long time and before to that feeling as great spirit. That's why they never call it father for one. What did Sonic call it father for it? Because you are called father to the sperm and ovum. Father gave sperm and they gave ovum to the emperor. Created positiveness, created things. Not bad. Polarity. That's the way they spoke, simply that way. Just to understand it. Experience it. Only anything else. Experience it. A couple of them are very good at talking about it. Is diversified individuality. It's like drops of water making up the whole ocean. But each drop thinks it's more important than the other drop. But it's all right, what an odd drop. Because each drop has to develop its own experience, become a crystal. As you develop your own personal crystallization, that Jesus would call it one cross, pick up the cross and follow him, pick up his. not pick up his crystallization, pick up your own individual living. Enjoy it. It's all for free. Whatever it is, house, wife, not knowledge, like this, will be. Make that moment of now the important thing. Because in the moment of now, we are born individual. In the moment of now, we die as individual. In the moment of now, we reincarnate as individual. In the moment of now, we resurrect as individual. Trove 3, keep 1. Resurrect. The glory of God. And this body throws off corruption in the now. And takes on non-corruption as a glory. The affirmation. Grasp the moment of now. Truly understand it. And make the reality an actuality. This is what all great men have come to teach us. And our brothers, our sisters, they all represent God. But it's taking a long time for us to wake up. So, for that reason, they devise disciplines, different techniques, various paths to go on the other. They're called church enemy. It's alright for them. Some people are like chicken eggs, some people are like turtle eggs, and some are like dinosaur eggs. Chicken eggs take 10 Mondays to hatch. Turtle eggs take 9 days to hatch. Dinosaur eggs take 1,000 years to hatch. Too many. So, all here in this is what delays us. Sense of understanding. Fixation. That delays the hatching. Once you disengage your understanding, let go of the intellect, the program, ideas, feel the movement of actions, you become free. It's like somebody says, and I know that's clean, how's the day with that? And then you can sit down and ponder what you gotta do. A whole week will pass and you never get up to clean house and paper. You will start bringing in the pain and the stuff which in a few minutes you gotta get up to clean. That's exactly what the thing is all about. This action from the moment to the feeling. Once you lock into it, then the transformation begins. God has always been with you. Never left you. You have always been more that you can do no place. And that he's not going out to visit before midnight eternity. So you're going to be a long time again in immortality. Immortality is still not. That's why Jesus would say the highest commandment is love the Lord. Love the numbers. And all the mind, and part of the mind, all. Waking, sleeping, eyes open, eyes shut. Even if you are doing it, love it. With all your heart. That's keeping your heart, the blood. And all your strength, that's the breathing. And all your soul, that is the sense of conviction. The word means next to it. And you open eyes, anything next to it. Bird, tree, and being a friend. As yourself. Because they have liberty. So for that reason, wise men came, left their impression on us. We got to pick up for them. Real churches are not wooden ones. It's this. You're never going to have another one. Do you take care of this one? So you only have one at a time. But you can muck it up. That's why God is not putting more to do. He wants us to understand. He wouldn't have made this model. He had no intention to be a permanent. That's the best guru you'll ever have. Human beings will come and go. They want to fly from emerging from caterpillar or the deer. There's never going to be any rotten butterflies. But there'll be a lot of rotten caterpillars. Same way with us. And the actuality of ourselves, the immortality of this principle, they all be farmers and individuals. Individuals. Existence. That's right. Yeah. Truth is livingness. As one person said, it's too simple. You need them. People have their own convictions. You can't lead a horse to water, make a drink. You can't change people. You can only change yourself. And so don't feel upset if you're not going to go off your day. Okay? That's not your job. Your job is not to change people. Your job is to find yourself in your own reality. No matter how long it takes you to come to pursue it, that's all you are. God's not going to ask you, did you spend all your time working with the other guy? Then you have to work with your own convictions. So, your own convictions, your own accomplishments is what you have to come for. Spirituality has nothing to do with society. It has to do with individuals. Society is a place where we all have to respect each other. Because we're all born with this. Use this to have a bond. The sperm you've got to be open to the winner. So you look at yourself as an individual, you're winners. Winners have to function in agreement so we don't hurt each other. That's why we set up some kind of society or regulation to respect each other. Imagine everybody disobeying the red light and don't agree to stop. Where the green is to go, we're in a catastrophe. So for that reason, society has a place in our lives. But individuality is your sense of accomplishment. You are soul, nature. You are the great person. You are the model, cellular element. And greater principle is in resident in you as what you hear coming out of my mouth called voice. And classifying it back as an animal. An animal the person actually don't exist. An animal the principle takes this all the time. Jesus and Moses, it's all the one thing. So we come to recognize it, we come to tell others who haven't recognized it yet, to communication with ourselves, we experience it. Not so much the reading of it. Because you can try to read the word God, you'll never see it or feel it. But if you try to feel him, like a baby, like a child, you'll feel it very fast. It's a sense of glow. It's a sense of constriction, dilation. A sense of beingness. A sense of continuity. Reinforce your sense of continuity with the word I am. So he told Moses, I am that I am. Now we tell the people who sent you. Very difficult for a man to go tell his other fellow man, I am sent them, so let's get out of Egypt. So you have to find a label for the I am. So he told them, Jehovah sent you. Word Jehovah really means four letters, I period, D period, E period, A period. Take away the period that you have. ID. Creative ID. Creative architect. Creative blueprint. Creative I am this. In me, Moses, is maybe you ready to get things over. And be yourselves. Stop complaining or being a victim of this society. But we have to put it in a great form. And the more we feed the form out of love and devotion, the form becomes solid. And it becomes electrical. And it becomes magnetic. And then it may appear out of the sky one day and say, ha, you found me. But then you close your eyes and you sit back and say, you gave it all of it. You gave it everything. It's in love. So it's interfacing, reflecting back. But that's all I'm talking about. Above all that is in your heart. Your sense of oneness in yourself. Because you have to live there all the time. That's why there is no statement. The pure in the brain will see God, but the pure in heart always sees God, meaning a sense of inward softness, tenderness, which is the compassion spirit. The goodness of Godness flows up. It's the undying ember. Charcoal that never goes out. And the psalm says, well, your seed that never dies, but your seed in the little back comes back up. Starts going again. What is that? So we used to be the part of the breath of life. One thing I can say about this principle, if you feel it, directs you moment to moment in your activities. And it's very fantastic at times how specific the events in your life begins with the objective. You see it in terms of timing. the way things are carved and the time they are carved. Subtle, simple, big time when that happens. And it's very obvious. So, put it in simple language, timing of the daily events in your life is the evidence that the creative intelligence is directing your survival. I repeat it. Timing, the very timing of the daily events in your life is the evidence that the creative intelligence is directing your survival. You can rest assured with full confidence you are truly a child of God, and His will be done in the line of things that you experience. So Gallium referred to it as synchronicity. In his psychiatry, he called it synchronicity. And when you line up, it's like two things lining up magnetically, positive and negative. So, Freud would say, all life is sex, polarity. You can't get out of alignment. So both of these men all recognize this principle in many ways. One recognizes it as timing, the other recognizes it lining up with the objects, and then we have the interaction, which we call the frustration. That's what makes us getting older or older. His contribution was, what happens when you line up on your own time? Frustration, breakdown. So, we're not the panic. So all the other great men came along and said, if we love and don't fear, even when lining up incorrectly and out of time, it will resolve itself in time. And it does. And we see that in horoscope. Horoscope is divided in half. Out of time, and the other half all fall back in time. So you don't have a bad life plan. It's 50-50. 50-50 market and 50-50. So you break even. You can't go argue with God. God will give you an opportunity to play the card game. After that. And that's what's so beautiful about the high school. But the playing of the incidences are not sequential. They are random. That's what creates the frustration of being left out or feeling when we get left out. It's because we don't know how to function in randomness. We only know how to function sequential of discipline. But that is only 99% of the time. 1% is a surprise element of random. So if we can work with the random while we do follow the sequential discipline in our daily life, obeying the red light, when you're in a hurry to get to the back before it goes, you gotta pull out the guy behind you and get around someplace to get there on time, while it's back. So that's the random. So you have to use these laws related to them to find your own spiritual teacher.
in connection with synchronicity, when we opened our fortune cookies tonight for dinner, this is a now experience, so it becomes synchronistic. Could you go into some detail about all the things like tarot cards, or I Ching, the I Ching, how that ties into the synchronistic?
Yes, the all the various concepts are written down throughout the centuries. But remember, they're written for the moment of confrontation. So if you write it in a book form, or you place them in a card geometry, or you put them in little strips of paper, they're going to be waiting for you to confront it. What may be going on in your lifestyle at that moment, that's the moment that's most important. What is that moment to you? That's the actual part. Tomorrow is not. Yesterday is not. Those are related. Those are the relative part. They are real to the extent that they have occurred yesterday. They may be real because you have experienced looking forward to something and waiting for it to occur. But in actuality, when it did occur, it was always now. And in the now, if you want to know what you will experience, so ancient people left their advice to themselves and to others in the form of the written words to give you confidence, and they call it prayer. In those days, they call it fortune cookie or instruction or message. So whatever the affirmation is or the conviction is, that is the moment of living. So if you reach for a fortune cookie now, pick up. And if at that moment you had certain feelings about your lifestyle, and it wasn't fully integrated, and you open the fortune cookie and it says, you will be such and such at this moment, it clicks. And if it says, don't do anything till such and such, you will what? Adhere to the instruction. So by and large, it provides you a confirmation of what is, or discipline to wait till it is appropriate form. So you notice the information or the affirmation, no matter if it's written in a book form or it's put in a card playing form or a little strip of paper form with a message, it has two values: a restraining disciplinary value and an acceptance quality value. You accept, you are, live. And if you shouldn't move, then wait. But it'll never give you information to ruin yourself, because that'll be incorrect for life. Life is for life, living. And God is for living. That's why Jesus said, the peace I give, the world don't give. The world gives us 6 feet under the ground, with a little piece of plaque so it may you rest in peace. But I give you a type of peace that only a living person can do for you. I give you the strength of peace, the inspiration to face what you're doing, no matter what it is. Just be patient and go through it. That kind of peace can't be got from the car or the grave. Can only be got by a human being among us, giving us a sense of up to the shoulder, keep up with us, we're hanging there. That kind of peace is what all great men of truth come to reinforce, like the I Ching. Stick with it, don't panic. And whatever it has to do, and if it's not going to be beneficial,
wait.
So you're placed between decision-making, and that's why we say there are no sins. It's all decisions and how you apply them. But if you are misapplied, then you learn from the misapplication, and then you have to recorrect. And that's bad enough. You can't learn if you never made a mistake. You'll have nothing to compare with. So mistake-making and correcting is evolution. No mistake making and no correction is stagnation. So how would God say to the atoms that they be light? They wouldn't change. They're already fixed in darkness. But because he has to command it, they have to change to create what? Fluctuations, variations, and we come into form. We don't like change, we don't like transformation, we only like permanency. You've got like our sense of permanency is locked up within. But until we learn flexibility, variation, change, we cannot appreciate permanency. And yet the permanency that we're supposed to experience is not in the darkness, it's in the light, in the tissue, not in the subatomic particles, the invisible germ that you don't see, and or the radicals that you don't recognize. They are permanent, they're going to go nowhere. But there, in the tangible tissue, where breakdown is going down, we are supposed to bring the surface to permanency. And it's by recognizing there are billions of cells. The nose may be assigned the job of breathing in the air, the eyes may assign the job to see, the ears may assign the job to hear, you know. But me all cells, me all skin. So me all touch. Me all breathe. See, everything. In the whole cosmic structure, you begin to get a sense of appreciation for your beingness. And that's what they're going to say, to be and not to be the question. So there's a difference between a man who thinks good and a man who acts good. Which we did before, the one who thinks good or one who acts good. The one that acts good pays the bills. If the actions speak louder than words, it's the same way with the body. Acting the immortality of yourself is the acceptance of your individual. And not trying to convert me back. That would be thinking of this, that would be worrying about they're going to be or not going to be. You can't do that. You have to live with what you wish for them. That's how they you love them, because that's what they came to find out for themselves. But you cannot do that. You see, Jesus didn't say, come, let me make you converters of men. He says, come, let me make you fishers of men. That's a big difference to converting a person. Fishing something out and converting it. You don't convert a fish to be a fish. You take a fish out of the water to let him recognize the fish. You know what I mean? So we take our ego out of our unified consciousness to realize our individuality and function in this state of express our immortality. That's what we all do. So when it's each of one, we don't go looking for them. We live the state of beingness and then vibrate. And others will feel this quality. And they want to relate because it's God in them. Like a little wick very numb. Yes, please read very numb. So, the vibration increases.
There's nothing wrong with trying to build physical churches too, to get physical congregate. Because when two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. It's a group association like the night. It's the presence of the feeling of the force in the room. So you feel it individually, and then two or three get together. To feel it collectively, it has greater value. And that's how come that began to be taken incorrectly to go hammer people's heads, making churches. But it's all right in the sense that we need group activity to raise the quality of the society of the mind.
You wouldn't come back for questions when we...
Okay.
And you follow this yourself? You follow this diet yourself?
Yes.
And when is the workshop?
September 25th.
And where is it?
It'll be here. Mm-hmm. We'll work out the details later as far as the exact time.
We haven't gotten a definite date, but it will be probably last September.
It's from 11:30 to 6.
Two meals are served.
Mm-hmm. And Christina's going to teach attention to cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of Jin Shin Jitsu?
Mm-hmm.
Jin Shin Jitsu? It's a Japanese grandmaster that teaches in Phoenix. Working with the meridians and points in the body.
It's an acupressure form.
Mm-hmm.
It's an acupressure form.
Yes, I'm familiar with your methods. Mm-hmm. My question is, when do you do?
You mean timing?
Mm-hmm. You mean time of the day,
Before it.
I'm not familiar.
When?
You see, you drove a car.
What?
You drove a car and came here. Right? Good. Did you buy a $9,000 worth of parts and $9,000 worth of timing?
Yes. I don't understand.
You drove and came in a car, right?
Uh-huh.
Did you buy $9,000 worth of parts or $9,000 worth of timing? Which one did you buy?
Parts.
The best parts, made of gold or whatever it is, ain't going.
Well,
have you ever had a car stall with you and they tell you to try all the timing?
Mm-hmm.
And when they come to the timing, when it runs, And you look at it, but you like to kick your head on the ground. But then go no place. That's the same with all the techniques that we have in this world. Mm-hmm.
Would that be the same as on the chart then, for the point of your body in the time? Like certain flows come through at different times in Jinshin. Is that what you're saying? Mm-hmm. To follow the flows that are happening at that particular time in Jinshin.
If you don't know the timing, mm-hmm. you're at the mercy of the parts.
Mm-hmm. But unless you're doing organ flows, how do you know the timing?
Huh?
Unless you're doing organ flows, how do you know what the timing is by taking the pulses down?
If we don't breathe, we'll go to the parts. When you cut the cord of a perfect human body, all the parts are there. And if it does not breathe, you can't tell the mother the child is dead. You say the fetus didn't work. It didn't respond, so we leave the fetus. All the parts are there, perfect chemistry and everything, but it's not holding the 14 pounds pressure per experience in the form of oxygen. It will not dilate and constrict on time. It got all the meridians, right or wrong. Got all the reflexes and the parts of the anatomy. The hair is there and everything. Yet it's not responding to the air. The body is not synchronizing with it. So what have we got? That's where we part company with all the different schools of therapy.
Well, I have this problem. I found someone come to me and they have a backache. And they come to me for Jinshin treatment.
You do Jinshin?
Mm-hmm. And unless, for instance, I know that the lung meridian is out, let's say that's out of balance, or the heart meridian or whatever, I really have no way of knowing what time of the day I should be treating the back. Does this relate to what you were first talking about, or am I off?
No, that's what I'm saying. If you don't know the time, what is it? Okay. You're still stuck back where you are, with parts.
So you teach how to determine what time you need to treat?
I teach you when to eat.
That's
what I teach, when to eat.
And then if we eat at the right times, then we don't have to have ginger.
Is that right?
Of all the creatures that can fly, there is none more beautiful than a butterfly. But a butterfly is a caterpillar who eats its way to butterflyhood on time. That's my message now. I have nothing to offer in terms of correcting problems, but how to eat on time to arrive at perfect health and non-decomposition of the self.
That's a mouthful.
And to be an example of the belief is the best recommendation you have. So if you get off the deathbed and walk by eating on time, then you know you have something that is valid. Otherwise, you don't have anything. They're burying you. What I'm teaching is primarily when to eat. So
what to eat when?
When to eat what?
Oh.
You see, what is already here? 144 minerals in little packages. And those little packages make up 84 million varieties plus one called human. And human is the 144 altogether in a package, making it different than the environment that is made up of the 144 in little packages, totaling 84 million shapes. That they're all 144 elements. They represent what? Until when comes in, they have no power of their own. And that's what makes the doctor cannot understand why a person who prays or talks can heal his body without the use of chemistry, and even to the extent bones that are made of minerals will reshape themselves, and the condition corrects even after death. So we're not talking what. This universe is not a what, it's a when. Because it's called in the beginning. And where would you put in or locate in? And it's not in the beginning is the word. In the beginning was. That's past tense already. It's the time is set up to store matter in the form of matter. And the Word was with God. This is all past tense. Sonics is creativity. And the Word was made flesh. Was. Sonics encapsulates mass, which is flesh, and dwells in man. Of all the manifestations, human is the most unique. It carries the principle of time all the time. So to say that we're dealing with the what, this is the evolution. All the different techniques are here and are evolving out to represent ways to stay healthy. None of the techniques deal with men. That's the only difference with what I'm saying, is when do you use this thing? Because the earth can't stop turning on its axis, and that determines where already. And consciousness is always now, and now doesn't have stop or start. Therefore, when is. But when contains quantity or mass, so Einstein had to admit that energy is equal to mass times velocity of light squared. Well, where would he put mass in order for it to be seen and move at the velocity of light squared to indicate have to keep it in time, and therefore he ended up referring to it as energy. We are living time. That doesn't mean time lives us. We are the living time. It's a principle we are exemplifying. Instead of we're living mass. So in the come, let us make man in our own image and likeness. Come is already time. And make would be motion in time. Man, that means a mass.
in our own likeness. That's motion and sonics, which you call light and sound. Male and female created them. And God breathed in, that's creative principle, breathe the air you feel in the room, the prana, the vibrancy, breath of life. So we don't breathe in breath of life when the cord is cut. Like it or not, egg don't come before chicken. Chicken come before egg. So mass may come before breathing. But if the mass doesn't hold the breathing on time, we're nothing. And that's the facts we have to live with. And God breathed into man breath of life, and man became living soul, but in actuality man became living soil. It's a vast difference when we say living soil than to say that man is from the dust. He is, and dust we go back. 144 elements are here, but they can't vibrate in a livingness to be a representation of livingness, which is God, until it constricts and dilates in rhythm the respiration or the breath of life, which is the air that goes into you. You have to constrict and dilate on time. It's a very critical point of your anatomy and physiology, how it holds. And if it don't hold, so when I'm asked what I'm teaching, I'm only teaching when to eat what. It's nothing new. It's just that we never look at it that way. But I've been with us all the time.
Well, how does the sonics connect to that?
What kind of instrument would you measure a straight line 3 feet long?
Yardstick.
A yardstick. Right? Then let's say we take this straight line and turn it, let it join its other end and make it a circle. And we measure it completely before we join the two ends. And the straight line is 36 inches long, right? We use a yardstick to measure it. We connect the two ends and we start spinning it. Can we use the yardstick to measure how fast it will turn? We need another kind of ruler, right? So it's called a watch. The watch is going to do what? Tell me how fast it's turning. So you call that time. You call the yardstick over. Length and breadth, distance measurement. So that's a dimension of a straight line that gives you one reading with one type of an instrument. Join the line into a circle and spin it, you need another instrument in another dimension now to tell you what it's doing. The motion is measured now, and that motion is called time. Did you find time? But you saw motion, and you use a watch as a ruler to measure the motion. But before you had this straight line to measure with the yardstick, it existed in the now, because that's the time you have to work with. And when you turn the ends of the string and join it and make it into a circle and find another ruler to measure how it will turn, how fast it turns, it's still in the now. you can't get rid of the now. So now is always going to be here, like it or not, no matter what we make or move in it, how long, how wrong, how square, whatever, it's still going to be there, dominating the object. Now, if I was to put that wrong circle and extend its width downwards and close it back, it becomes a tubular object, right? The most functional part of that tube is where? The wall or the empty space? The empty space. See how much money he's paying for empty space? Calling it a house? See how much money you pay for empty space calling it a car? See how much money you pay for this empty space calling it a glass? We live with it all the time, but when you... What are we? Look how much money. This here is what? This is where all the liquid is going to go in and keep it so you can drink. And yet we do spend a lot of money for.
Container?
Right.
Same thing with the body, the way we adorn the body.
Exactly.
A lot of money on jewelry and cosmetics and all that stuff.
The air that actuates it to keep it vibrating on time so that it vibrates and live is like the empty space. We don't see it, we don't realize that is it, but that is the most functional part of us, not the air. This is a beautiful glass made of the best material. It's like my body before the air, when it cut the cord, it sits there. Nice piece of furniture. Till I'm ready to use it. And that's the same with the body. When I decide to use it, it's gone. And the part I'm going to use is the empty space. The same thing with the body. And I'm eating solid mass. To put it there, to an empty space. That's the comedy of the whole thing. Now we take our teeth and tune it to convert it into a non-irritable solution, so it'll slide out empty space. And then the worst argument is you can't keep it in there forever. It needs empty space to go. Do we live in these laws? But yet, in this uniqueness of it, there is a principle that sustains it. It's the sonics, the vibration. Everything has vibration. Even if you call it something, you're giving it a name and you're setting up a vibration. But there's only 144 elements in this world, and they all have names. And when you look at them under a microscope, they have their geometrical shapes. Yet, if they are not timed to relate, we don't have a single object to work with. Iron and magnesium and silicon of a certain quantity could sit there all day and never become a prune. Yet, nature forced them in their own quantity to relate to heat, moisture, and in certain rhythms of the earth, and out sprouts a growing plant, producing a fruit called a plum, containing those same basic minerals, ready to be eaten. And our tummy needs those same minerals to stay healthy. We can reach with and eat it. We're going to take those same minerals out of the club and pass it through our system at a certain time, dissolve out the minerals, crush up the blood, so that the minerals will go through to react with the 144 minerals that make up this body. And yet you put it in at the wrong time, you get sick, the right time you stay down. Not too long ago, I was in California, and I was invited to meet a couple of doctor friends at the Summit Lighthouse. And we were discussing the same thing, what I'm doing, the time with food. And the doctor says, you know, it's strange that you're saying this, and I have only my own health to relate to it. When I ate the apple in the middle of the day, I got the symptoms you mentioned, gassy, nauseous feeling, uptight. And I eat it in the morning, I feel good. But I always thought it was the chemistry and some way the spraying or some other thing. This makes more sense, because he says, I didn't do it just once. I've been trying to eat an apple for the last 12 years in the middle of the day. So he says, that's not the, as far as the chemistry, it's not the chemistry. They're neutral if you're going to go all day with it. He wasn't going all day with it. He was eating his breakfast or his basic, an apple a day will keep the doctor away.
You mean go all day with it, like drink apple juice or something?
Yeah, if you're using it as a therapy, but don't mix it with anything else. So what he had is in the morning he had his apples with his eggs. His toast. And then when he was, in the afternoon he was wanted to snack on, so he snacked on another apple with soaked tea. And he himself made the connection of the various foods that he ate two or three times in the day and noticed, but he never paid any attention to them as having a good time. But now when we were discussing it and seeing this connective science behind it, he says this makes more accurate science, because you can see the connectedness. Before he thought it was only the chemistry. And so he quit eating apple. But then he says, now I can go back and eat my apple and not be afraid of it. He thought also he was allergic, and he's an MD. He said he thought he was allergic to the chemistry of the apple. And he did give himself different things to drink to slow it down. But after talking to me, he realized that, and what he had done, it's not the chemistry, it was time.
In my body, I have like 20 pounds that I've gained and I haven't been able to lose, no matter what I've tried. Could that be related? I mean, I can go without eating for 40 days and it just feels like 7 pounds or so. Is that timely?
Well, let me put it this way. I fasted for 56 days once. The first 28 days I lost weight. I didn't drink even liquid. Mm. The next 28 days I got it all back. I didn't drink no liquid or eat.
Mm.
So I proved to myself it is not what I eat or I don't eat. Mm. It was when I did something. So I eat every day. And people can tell you I like to eat. But I eat on time. And I lost my weight simply by eating. So I cannot recommend, in all fairness to you, that denying the body and knowing how it operates that is the ideal way to lose weight. It would not. Now, for instance, when you're a child, your parents made you eat breakfast so that you go to school and not be a medical hazard to them, cost factor. And you did it out of resentment because you may feel you didn't want to eat, but you had to eat. but you stayed healthy. And when you grew up and had to go on your own, that was the first time you said, no breakfast.
Okay.
Right. Because you're rebelling, but then weight starts to come on. You threw the chemistry off their timing. And they went on strike. So whatever you give them, or you don't give them, they refuse to do anything. So all is going to happen. The body will store air and liquid to compensate for the fact that it has to function. So as it stores more air and liquid, it bloats up. And it will refrigerate, it will get cooler. Instead of keeping warm and eliminating. And then the tendency to drink cold liquids will begin to increase. And also the tendency to delay involvement with food until nighttime. Then you take a big meal and forget. That's the pattern we end up doing. And if we try to reduce that down to weight loss, we see every attempt to weight loss, we fail. And whatever we eat at night is out of time with the body. We have to go back again. So the very fundamental things our parents did, no matter if it was the wrong time, we have to eat 3 meals a day. But instead of eating 3 meals with the incorrect input, we can eat 3 meals with correct input, and the weight will go down. I'm not talking for me alone, I'm talking for many years of actually working with people in my clinic from all weight levels to put them back to their normal.
So I studied with an acrobiotic teacher, and I went on that regime, like a year, just, all the special things.
Macrobiotic is good. I studied and used it, but they didn't tell me when. Even me a cushy and let them or sour.
Mm-hmm.
They did not know when to eat food. But they know chemistry very well. And they do not eat nightshade family foods. You couldn't get them to eat a tomato if you like. And now it says, I know when to eat a tomato. And they look at me, oh, you're crazy. But I eat all the nightshade family foods. It's not what, it's when. Because everything in this world was made to eat. Now if nothing was made to eat here, you'd have been told from the very start.
Made us
know. Because the Bible says, or the ancient book of instructions, eat everything that moves on the face of the earth. It shall be for food and for medicine.
So that includes red meat too?
You must know when. If you don't know when, you can get sick. The worst thing is to deny, and the worst thing is to stay on one type of diet, because you'll get sick. You have to know when to do things. If a person is a mother, she knows that 4 o'clock in the morning, and she's pregnant, she's going to walk over to the refrigerator, reach in for ice cream and pickles and eat it, or any kind of crazy concoction, because she's pregnant. Because nature wants her to maintain the chemical balance at a certain time. And she will do it like a tongue knot, maybe candy, Coca-Cola, something she'll do that defies every medical program. And it's not what, it is when she does it, that the baby is healthy.
Gosh, you're giving me hope that I'm going to be able to eat a whole bunch of things I didn't think were good for me.
If you're...
You might not get that. You set the alarm.
We are designed to eat, so I don't know of anything else. A child, what's the first thing? How does he learn to compare?
When things
are all right, when the umbilical cord is cut, what do you think he came out to be?
What did you say?
When the umbilical cord is cut, what do you think the child came out to do?
Sup.
And what is that? Eating. The pituitary gland signals the umbilical cord to constrict, forcing the mother to have labor pains in order for the mouth to dilate to take responsibility at the 9 months. Because that's nature's laws of individuality. And the labor pain comes on, and the doctor cuts the cord, and the nasal valves open for the air. That's the first food. If it holds the constriction and dilation in time, it's nurturing directly. Then it has to nurture indirectly through the mouth. So you place the mouth to the breast to nurse. And it learns its mistake from its mouth. If you don't watch the child, it'll eat everything in sight and get sick. Then you teach it what not to put in its mouth.
So do you think that a mother, a new mother who's nursing her baby, needs to teach the baby when to eat, or the baby already seems to, in some ways, know when to eat?
The baby knows when to eat, but the baby doesn't know when to eat what. The mother may be the one to blame for the baby having more problems. But when the mother knows when to eat what, there's no problem in the baby. No? I have a lot of parents who have children, and I baptize them myself as a minister. And yeah, and Christina will tell you, she deliver a lot of them. We work. Babies, she's seen them live the way I'm talking about. And even when they're adopted, these children are in the top of their class, and they're at least two classes ahead of their class for their age. They're remembering faster, they're learning and doing their work faster than the average child is eating at the average weight. Because they're in time with everything from what they're eating. The chemistry is going in on time. We have one little fellow, we call him Rocky. He was adopted by the mother and the father. The father, the lawyer, and the mother, the teacher. And when they adopted him, they said, I can't nurse this boy because he's adopted him. What do I do? He said, well, he needs calcium, so we don't give him milk from the cow because that lactic acid. Take the cashew and make milk and feed him in the morning with it. And take the soybean and feed him in the afternoon with it. And then take the peanut and feed him in the afternoon with it, but make milk out of it. He's 7 years of age now, and he has the IQ of an 11-year-old kid. And he's so muscular for a little boy that even the doctors at the college, the school there, the mother, can't keep up with him because he's learning so fast and outdoing the other kids for his age. And yet it is not her own cellular child. It's an adopted child. But she's having the experience now to see working with time and what goes into body. Let alone her own body being reprogrammed again. And she is pregnant for the first time with her own baby. But she and the husband have worked to bring their health into focus. And years ago when I met them and they heard of me, they didn't, my method sounded crazy. Eat on time. And especially when you've been so overprogrammed to all kinds of foods. But after they began cleaning their bodies up and work with it, they're seeing it's paying off now. Financially in their workload, emotionally in their own relationship, and the exposure to working with another child that is not of their own cellular makeup, let alone the one that's about to be born. So they've gone through the process of seeing when to put in what.
Food allergies. This must relate in some way to food allergies. And that's what you're talking about. When people don't eat at the right times, then the body has an allergic reaction to it. What happens when you're eating on time and you get sick? Mm-hmm. Can you be too on time?
No. If you eat on time and you're sick, it's all toxins in your body are being pushed out by the foods coming in on time for the first time, and they don't tolerate dirty intestinal areas no more. They want them to go out. Mm-hmm. So they either go out by the normal procedure or go through the skin. In other words, the picket line is over, and those who are crossing the picket line are going to be pushed out by the old employees who have agreed to the contract.
You talk about eating on time, but that also includes fluid and including fluids.
Yes, everything.
Everything that you put into your body. Do you agree with vitamin supplementation?
Yes, providing you know where they come from. You see, most people put vitamins in, but they don't know where they come from.
Where are they supposed to come from?
Where does vitamin C come from?
Citrus,
staple,
oranges,
corn. When you buy a bottle of vitamin C, does it tell you where it comes from?
Sometimes.
Mm-hmm. But you're buying it to stop what?
A cold.
Because somebody told you to take vitamin C for a cold, you go and buy a bottle of vitamin C for a cold. And if it doesn't stop the cold, who are you going to blame? The person who told you to buy it, the product where it was made without a label, or the substance that was put in the product that doesn't fit the problem. You may buy a bottle of vitamin C made from corn, and you have a mucus problem in your lungs, in your sinus tract. You can eat all the whole bottle till you're white like the bottle. You'll never get rid of your sinus congestion, because that vitamin C doesn't have a doggone thing to do with this part of your anatomy.
So if you took an ass roll of cherry seed, then could you take that all through the day if your problem was, say, zone?
Only in the morning. In the middle of the day, it wouldn't do nothing. So nighttime, it wouldn't do nothing. Because a cherry doesn't grow on a vine and doesn't grow under the ground. It grows on a tree. And it's not going to do anything more than what's assigned by it by nature to do. We like it or not, it's bad. But that's the way it works. We're finding it more and more. I have to work a lot of people, but not me alone. People who've been trained and working now and doing it in different parts of the country are seeing that what they couldn't get results before, if you work in nutrition and work in health food stores, when the patient comes in that couldn't get them, now they go and look at the label and give the information and it works. We were at a fellow's place, Ed. He works in a health food store. And he had called me one time and told me he had given vitamin C to a person who had a problem. And it wouldn't work. They're not getting well. So I said, what is the problem? So he told me, the congestion of the sinus tract. And I asked him, what type of vitamin C was he selling them? Well, they were buying from corn. I said, it's not going to work. They bought massive doses. They took massive dose therapy to get rid of it. It didn't work. And then they came to the health food store and asked me what can they do. And I told them, just take one from the acerola cherry and give it to the person. And call me back in a couple of days and let me know what happened. This was a Monday when he called me. And Wednesday morning, they called me back. They're totally cleared up, and they could never understand how. Because all he told them was to eat it in the morning, and that night, they were already seeing the symptoms of their drainage Tuesday, it was almost gone. Wednesday, it was all gone. And I met the person after. The person told me, I want to take the press because it makes more sense from the experience. He has spent a lot of money trying to clean up his sinus tract and never got it corrected until he met Ed. And when Ed called me on the phone to tell him which vitamin C from what source to take at the time of the day, and he took it, he got it.
And that's all he has to do to get rid of it?
It is not what, it's when. Well, let me put it this way. Certain types of uterine cancer responds to a injection of platinum chloride. That's platinum chlorine. In the last 4 years working on rats, the doctor has established that it can cure uterine cancer, the combination of platinum and chlorine. He applied it to human beings in the last 4 years. Before midday, when the injection was given, and this is after 4 years of research, all the patients recovered and went home and lived. After midday, all the patients died next day of pneumonia. They didn't die from uterine cancer. And he was puzzled because he knew from his researches on the rats, tested and everything, the uterine cancer does recede back in the normal body pumping. And why should people die from the injection? When he went back to the records in the hospital he was working in Pennsylvania, he saw when the people who lived and the people who died. And he only came to his awareness is when he was going through the records and the death certificates, that those that all died were given the injection in the afternoon after midday. And the symptom they died from was not the cancer, it was definitely pneumonia and congestion of the lungs. That was a side effect of taking the chemical at the wrong time of the day. Now, it became very important to make the nurses administer the injection in the morning. And not in the afternoon. But he found out that when a patient comes to the office of the hospital and they are analyzed for that particular cancer, usually when the prescription is given, by the time the nurse gets it to administer it, if they come in the morning, they will get it before midday. If they come in the afternoon, they will get the injection administered in the afternoon. So, for that reason, he narrowed down to any person coming for a consultation to be certain that they come in the morning or the injection is not administered till next morning after they ascertain that it is a uterine cancer. And that was their first chemical breakthrough on condition in the body that is predetermined by time over what we use to phase down a problem. And it is not a new research is going on more and more. They're becoming conscious that a lot of injuries in the body are results of time. And what I'm just saying is that when it comes to eating, which has to maintain and nurture the body, at the same time clean up the body, it is not what you do, but when you do it. But I've been doing this since 1956. That was my first on my own self, to get off of a bed in the hospital with all my bones broken twice. And how he's paying good money for food and getting sick and not getting well, and the doctor's giving him and says, well, you're only walking with me, so forget about it, just stay in the past. I refuse to die because I found out that it is not what was what I ate that was making me die. It's when I ate it that maybe was killing me. All food is good. The wrong time will kill you. And the right time may save your life. But all food is good. No food is bad. And what was comical in the years when I look back, my first breakthrough into nutrition, I started with an egg. And I laugh because all life begins with an egg. Yeah. One morning I said, I am true of this nonsense of paying all this money and I'm sick. I'm not going to get well. They give me up for not doing it for long. My bones are broken. And I'm in a cast for it. And I'm bloated up. So I said, I might as well die. He said, oh, he's crazy. They've already been in the hospital so long. In that situation, should be crazy, but so they gave me the egg. And at 10 o'clock, expecting the gas, there was no gas. Half past 10 to 11, I'm sound asleep. For the first time in a year and 9 months. No, a year and 6 months, I got up at the end of 9 months. It was 3 months after I went to the hospital to walk it. But a year and 6 months there, I was, never slept. Just groaning all night with gas in the brain. And they gave me the egg, I ate it, and I fell asleep. Next morning, I woke up for the first time, no gas, sound asleep, feeling good. And I said to myself, oh, you stupid fool, you just hypnotize yourself. You've been doing that for years, so hypnosis is really just not a trick of your head. It's not the egg. But I try again. Girl came around, and I said, what do you want for breakfast with you? Egg. But the notes have to be written on the log, because that's their study of patients. So you didn't have gas last night? I said, no. You slept, you know? The nurse came in and checked out the phone, so she made the patient from the lab. They checked in, so you want the egg? 10 o'clock, gas, yeah, right? 12 o'clock, what you want to leave? Egg. 3 o'clock, gas again. At that time, my doctor, who was in charge, was coming around to do the check, to the chart. What's this, Leah, here, you eating egg and getting the gas, and then last night? I said, yeah, doc. He says, okay, let's see what happened. Supper time came, ate the egg, 10 o'clock, no gas. Again, I'm sound asleep. Next morning, he's there first, he's probably looking at the chart. He says, something is happening, Lee. You don't understand this. Would you give an okay that we can track you down, see what's going on, maybe something going on, and we have overlooked. You have to sign a document releasing us. That's to protect them in case they goof. So, okay, Doc, sign it. They got all kinds of equipment and brought it in. You know I'm not hypnotizing myself, that was certain. Because he was familiar with that. Second, this is the third day. Egg, gas around 3 o'clock, gas around 10 o'clock. No gas at night, sound asleep. 3 days, it's going good. So I go the whole week now. So I kept all these machines monitoring me. For the whole 7 days, consistently, gas in the morning, 10 o'clock, just the egg. Gas at 3 o'clock, the egg. No gas in the afternoon, night time. So he put that down, says, it's consistent. You seem to be capable of handling the egg at night. Your body is not allergic to it. That was the conclusion he assumed, that it's allergic. It doesn't reject it. It doesn't form gas at night. But it does in the middle of the day, it doesn't form it. We went through this for a whole month, trying different foods and seeing their time. At the time, they were just... So I had 3 months exposure. At the end of the 9 months, of the year 9 months, I'd pretty well been exposed to a whole host of foods, and but never associated with growth. Just associated, that was the ideal time for you. And then he said to me, Lee, you'll never lose all that weight. You can do all your weight programs you like. Until you take a colonic, you'll never get your weight done. I said, what, doctor? He said, I'm signing you out now, but you come to my clinic and my home clinic on Friday, and I'll give you a full interrogation. So, then you're not aware of what he started. But this was the Monday now. I'm out of the hospital. I decided I'm not going to eat anything. All day I drink water. I had 3 healthy bowel movements. The Tuesday I did the same thing, just drink water, and had 3 healthy bowel movements. The Wednesday I drank water, nothing at all. The Thursday I drank water, nothing at all. I said, wow, man, I'm clean. I don't know whether this quality medication is back. What is he going to show me? So Friday morning here, I'm walking. I got knocked there. Hi, Lee, come on in. On the machine. I didn't tell him what I did, you know. I'm on this machine. In those days, a cooling machine that I could model tea. Hooked me up, and in 15 minutes, I'm seeing this stuff coming out of me. And I'm looking at myself, no, I don't believe this. I said, Doc, isn't that corn passing out of my cooling machine? He stopped the machine. He says, yeah, I'll pick up corn. It's gone. I said, but Doc, 6 weeks ago, you gave me the okay to eat corn because of my condition in the cast. You mean to tell me I didn't pass it on? He said, that's what I told you. With all the programs that you're doing, you're never going to get that out. I said, okay, Doc, that's what you do. After he was finished and he went off to the side and doing his paperwork, I said to myself, Adano, you stupid fool. You only got a pair of eyes, a nose, and a pair of hands, and when they're gone, you better start taking care of your health, because there's no way you can buy it in a store or any machine. I got no for me. So then I got off the machine. He says, if you want to come back another day, I say, yeah, Doc, arrange for it. He says, incidentally, there's a lot of books here that you can read. And if you want to hang around the clinic, you're not working, come by and pick up and learn. And I said, fine, Doc. So I went, I got the cleanup, the cool and workout. I spent a lot of time. Then he suggested for me to study physical therapy to get me a better understanding of my body. And the next day was, and I started to take up the classes at night, the working day, and then go over his place at night. Learn about the human anatomy. So I had to work in the morgue. Of course, exposure to quartz. But I'll tell you, after seeing the whole context of the healing work, I realized it was not medicine at this fault. It's not surgery at this fault. There were only backup systems of nothing left to do. Pain is gone, the symptoms have gone too far out of control. And the people can't handle it, so they have to give them drugs or perform the surgery. If the real problem is when working with a cadaver, you see, the real problem is what these people have been eating for years. It's the cause of their problem in their body. And then I began to put it together in my own head. Did research and testing and realized it was not what we ate that was wrong, it's when we ate it. Then I checked back with my own personal experience and then started to correlate it now technically with research testing, how these things were actually growing. So by that time my weight was coming back down. I used to weigh 180 pounds. Well, it's what we call potluck eating. There's nothing wrong. In this country, we don't suffer from malnutrition, we suffer from potluck eating. Or what I call it, lunar eating. We eat lunar eating all the time in this country because we eat all the time and all the wrong combinations all the time. Simply because we're programmed like that, we do like that, never realizing when to eat what. But it's nobody's fault because the evolution of the country came like that. The frontier days, agricultural man, then mechanical man, and finding himself restrained within production. So his health is a result of more potluck style eating than anything else. But that's what I teach. I teach when to eat what.
Me neither. I don't want to stay fat that long. And you don't.
I weighed 400 pounds when I first met you.
Well, let me ask you a simple question. Since you say eat and fast, you know, what do you eat normally for breakfast? Good. All right. That's one of the first things that is bad for the body. It'll store fluid and air and set up carbonization, so your body will refrigerate and therefore it will blow. It'll act like a champagne bottle. You know, champagne ferments and ferments, then the cup, when you flip the top off, it rushes out. That's exactly what it does when you don't eat. And you eat lunch?
Sometimes.
Alright, and when you eat sometime, what do you select?
Rice cakes, and fruit, or salad.
What type of fruit do you eat when you do eat it?
I love watermelon.
By itself or with other things?
I'll eat a piece of I'll eat a couple of pieces of watermelon for lunch sometimes. Or nectarines, and I mix the fruits.
At lunchtime?
Uh-huh.
And supper?
Like tonight we had tabbouleh and salad and broccoli and corn.
Well, you're entitled to your overweight.
I'm entitled to my overweight? Okay.
Because the food you mentioned out of their time cycle. And they're not going to digest until tomorrow midday. Mm-hmm. Let me ask a simple question now. Would you work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week?
Yeah.
Good. Don't expect the enzymes in your body to do that either. They wouldn't. You have different type of enzymes assigned to break down different types of food at different times of the day according to how they grow. So by virtue of that corn tonight, those enzymes to break that down are sleeping. They wouldn't wake up until tomorrow midday. And by the time morning comes around, and if you don't put in no food, that gas will start fermenting, so you start to make a chin. By 10 o'clock, you're going to feel woozy.
I drink coffee in the morning.
Kind, Folgers or Maryland Club?
No, I buy special organic and burn it myself.
Still grows on a bush, don't grow on a tree, but put it in. You see, organic grown doesn't prove anything. Coffee is good, providing it comes from a high bush or a low bush, the time of the day. So,
how do you know that?
The companies that bring it into this country and the countries where they grow, the botanical structure is like that. Only Brazil has the coffee that grows on a high bush. Every other country has it on a low bush. So their coffee is only good for the middle of the day. Brazilian coffee is the only one you can drink in the morning. But don't drink it in the afternoon, you get sick. The other type of coffee you drink in the morning, you get sick. But you can drink it from midday right up to 7:30, no problem. But that's the way they grow in terms of light. So in this country, you don't buy much Brazilian coffee no more because Brazil has conserved their coffee for their gold and their other stuff. So only Folgers has the franchise to bring it in. All the others are coming in from Colombia. And they have a low bush in the mountain region. There's a low bush. So that coffee is mostly an afternoon coffee.
If I drink it in the afternoon, I'm awake all night.
And that's why that we call that an afternoon Colombian coffee.
How can we remember all this? It sounds like so much. No, but I made it at the workshop to get all these foods straight. It would just eat a less variety of food.
No, at the workshop, you're given the workbooks.
Also, we write it all down. Yeah,
so that's why. I wrote the book a long time and I took it off the shelf because I saw books and shelves didn't do nothing for nobody because I walk around and see people look at the book. It didn't mean anything. So why did I? Then I took it off and refused to have it printed on the books. I decided to do it at workshops where I meet people, involve with them, let them eat a meal and see for themselves by actual experience versus conversation. And this was why when I was with this doctor last week, he wanted to know why I didn't have books on it so he could read. I said I have workshops where I'm involving with people more than book, because you can take a book, read the information, and get confused, and then you can't communicate with the author to find out what to do. So you jump to conclusions, and if you don't feel you're confident, you take the book and stick it on the shelf and forget about it. But if you get involved with the information and see your problems correcting by the application, then the workshop has done its real thing, because right there you see the therapy going on for the first time. What is going on? So wit is only of three categories: liquid, gas, and solid. In your case, you've got more gas from not eating and more liquid from putting in it at the wrong time, and the solid remains going out at the wrong time. Other people put in too much solids but not enough liquid and have problems. Others put in too much solid, too much air, and they have problems.
So how long does it take once you start on doing it right to I guess that's an individual thing.
Let me put it this way. Eating on time is a way of life.
Yeah.
You're not going to deny yourself nothing anymore.
How quick am I going to get thinner?
If you were, let me put it another way too. Health is not something you can buy in a store. And it's not something that has to do with time, of how soon you're going to get thin or how soon you're not thin. It has to do with eating on time to be alive, so your body burns out the waste products on time and don't store them no more. So you find yourself losing the weight by just eating without having to go on a weight program. I have a lot of people who've done this already. And one woman, she was very overweight. Our friends brought her there at my clinic in Houston. And she started to eat. But she didn't see any transformation after 6 weeks. And she says, I don't think your system works. I don't get any results. I'm going to go back to my own way of eating. I says, all right, go back to your own way of eating. I'll refund your money. She said, no. 2 days after she came back, she said, I ate my other way and I got more sick. I couldn't sleep all night, and at least your way I could sleep. I says, well, would you try my way just for one more day? She said, okay. She ate my way one more day. I didn't see her 2 days after. And she came in laughing. I lost five pounds. I said, from what? I went back to eating your way. And I did it the second day. And then I noticed my weight going down. This was in April. Before I left to come to the West Coast on this trip to teach, she had bought already 3 new
wardrobes. The clothes are too big. She's lost the weight progressively, and she's not doing any excessive exercise other than what she would normally swim. Her friends at where she works are amazed at the loss of the weight, but they also want to understand what she did because they were also in weight loss programs. But they have never seen a person go down and stay going down consistently without the body breaking up simply by the eating. And they know her very well from the fact that she was overweight, but she is eating 3 times a day. And she has already changed her wardrobe 3 times. And that's, there's enough success stories in eating on time, because there are other methods, yes. I don't say other methods don't work, but when they quit,
they don't work for me. So far.
All I'm asking you is to eat on time. So you're not going to take away nothing from your body. It's just that food is going to go in there to work on time. Eat. So in the morning, you need to eat just as much in the middle of the day and at night.
So what effect will that have on your mental and emotional bodies if you're dealing so strongly on the physical timing? I would think that vibrationally, there'd just be a whole attunement that would start happening. I guess, see, you know, what your explanations bring to mind is that everything is timing. Your mental food, your emotional food, your spiritual food. And I just find that maybe that's a discussion for another evening in terms of how, what, when, with the other considerations of being. And it seems like your emphasis is on the foundation of the physical for those other times.
Electricity, is it the result of chemistry? Is solid mass of matter, does it cause electricity to occur by setting up certain functions in it? Or you cause electricity to control matter? When man first discovered he could generate electricity, did he take it out of the air, or he took physical matter and aligned it certain ways to produce electricity? What did he do first?
I guess he aligned physical matter.
Like it or not, the egg cannot come before a chicken, but a lot of eggs are being eaten on one chicken. In the same way, your body is set up. You're a chemical mass with an electrical field and a magnetic force. And they all have to work on time. Like it or not, that's the way we put together. So there's no way that the electrical nature, which you call mind, and the magnetic nature, which you call emotional fields of expression, are going to function for your benefit if they're out of time. And the chemistry is the foundation of it. You can't exist if you don't have a basis. You can't radiate or project without that basis. And whatever you radiate or project, and consider it as communication, in terms of survival, it's still timing. This is physics, either we like it or not, we stuck with it. So the human being, when he's eating on time, experiences all the phenomena that is called extrasensory without working for it.
What is happening then if someone is placing emphasis on meditation? And they're not placing the emphasis on the time of eating. Like, what is going on here?
The person who places the emphasis on the meditation is placing the emphasis on the something for nothing attitude.
Mm.
And since there is no something for nothing attitude, sooner or later the emphasis will fail. Then he's going to blame God for letting him down.
Would that same thing apply towards someone who seems to be, say, graced to be in the physical proximity of a teacher that has darshan emanations, but is not considering the timing of it?
Exactly.
Same thing.
They're not doing anything constructive in their own life, but they're just trying to ride the short tail of the teacher. Vibrations and the proximity of association, so
mm-hmm.
they feel they are benefiting, and they also are living with the something for nothing attitude. But
mm-hmm.
the teacher doesn't condemn them for that. The teacher tolerates it for one reason. They have to go through that process until they wake up.
Mm-hmm.
So they are like children in the womb for that teacher, or they're like a children under their sort of supervision compared to God and left the teacher as a nursemaid. So that individual is functioning under that level of a something for nothing. Until he decides to do something for himself, then he will function in the something for something consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in the something for something consciousness where he has to come to grips with what he nurtures the body with and recognize how that is sustained. Then from that moment, he can explain to himself and demonstrate to himself the apparent miracles that he was experiencing before, taking them under the guise of happening without his control and happening because he needed so badly for it to happen. And then you realize that you're in control for the first time of these laws, and they really aren't laws anymore to be controlled, but to be experienced, because that's how they're happening already.
Mm-hmm.
Then you'll be like Paul, who says, "I rebuke you in your rejoicing, for I live and die daily in the Lord." He quit looking for the miracles and looked for understanding, because the gifts of the Spirit are the miracles. The fruit of the Spirit is understanding. He also had both. He was able to heal and do all kinds of things. But then he quit that and went to the understanding. And then he realized it was breathing, breath of life, living and dying daily. The constriction and dilation of his consciousness produced organism. So he went to work and became a tent maker.
Mm-hmm.
He got up and went out to work. And so that's what we call standing up on your 2 feet and being your own person. He realized that he didn't have to go out preaching no more, trying to convert the world to the glory of God, because that was the miraculous part, that was the something for nothing attitude. The real truth was living moment to moment and being one with God. Therefore, he started to rebuke his own students by telling them, "I rebuke you in your rejoicing, because, oh God, something great, get up, and God is so good." And he's realizing that it's more than that, that he lived and died. He was actually now coming to grips with in the actual nature of time.
Hmm.
So, but we have to go through that level first, so
mm-hmm.
there's nothing wrong with that. It's necessary to go through to understand. It's like a child has to be a child first before they become an adult. So the something for nothing attitude, the miraculous wishings and experiences, the psychic phenomena, are all necessary for the group. But the actual result in the end, the actual understanding, is back to the eating. The mundane day-to-day thing. Because that gives you immortality. You see, the miracles are doesn't make.
What effect does that have on the heart? I must just completely mind everything, not everything. I mean, just your insights.
Yes, because for the first time your heart is going to be on time. See, that's really the whole thing boils down, because your blood pressure is going to line up for the first time. Because you're putting in food that must be broken down on time, and every organ, sooner or later,
pressing more of the heart in terms of, I guess there's the relationship to it.
Because you're all going to go back on time for the first time again. And that's your whole purpose, to stay on time. Now, have you ever seen a Model T car taken by someone and redone? And drive, see them drive down the road, it looks brand new, and then you go test it out. They spend time to remodel it and fix it up, but it runs better than what it is. Because they have understood the functions of the car. And it's the same with the body. When we can mess it up, plug it up, but then when we start cleaning it up and relining it and put things back on time, you have a healthier body and a more dynamic body for the first time for working. This is not designed to die. It's not designed to rot. But we can't be forced by creative intelligence. That's the one problem. He cannot force us to love or clean up by love. We can only learn to clean up my mistakes. The comedy of it. Nutritional science and how to eat and clean up the body. And most people who have problems with chronic illnesses and physical therapy, from broken bones and sprained muscles, and can't seem to get rid of the chronic muscle pain. That's how it works. We teach them how to eat, so that the body doesn't build up the acids in the broken bone area or muscle area, so they can be functional again and become flexible. It's mostly a lot of physical therapy for broken bones and overweight from injuries. We have a dining room where we serve a lunch and a supper so that they can come and eat. Aware of what they eat when. Then we have workshops in the nutritional classes on weekend.
I've always read a lot and studied about nutrition and been drawn to that, you know, in all various ways. And practiced on myself a lot. Cleansing my back for years. So this is exciting, isn't it? You know,
not true.
No, but I mean new to me.
I know.
Just new to me.
But now, even if you had a part of your body that was weak, let's say it wasn't injured, it wasn't obvious, there was something internal, there's something within the knee. that you could begin to lead straight from that point?
Well, it depends on which knee. Just to say there's a weakness in the anatomy, each knee has a specific condition causing it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why you can't just say a certain method is going to correct the person.
So it's very individual. Just
So which knee would it be?
Left knee.
All right. It has to do with a male reaction. So
the what reaction?
A male person. It's a trauma. If it before the knee starts the body, do you know of any male confrontation going on? To be more specific now, what color comes to your mind when you think of the knee?
What color? This means green.
All right. Before the knee started to bother you, do you know of any male person you had any resentment at the time before the knee began to bother you?
Mm-hmm.
That triggered up some kind of resentment, or someone who made a promise and never fulfilled it, and you got resentful about it?
Yeah, it's funny. I began having problems with my knees 5 years ago, my left knee 5 years ago, when I came back from India. And I had some food poisoning. And that's the only association that I have.
Yeah,
is when it all started.
It started with a trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore it was localized in the knee. And the knee is a reflex to the skull cap, because there's only two areas that the word cap is used, kneecap, skull cap. So therefore some authoritative figure was involved in the process. And it's the left side, it would be a male person. It's not a female, it's a male person is involved in the traumatic condition.
So as long as the traumatic condition
yes, it will feed, right, the memory bank will start the releasing of the acid, and it will stay longer in the area, and it takes too long to phase itself out. To refrigerate itself and stay.
So I could try to strengthen my quad muscle and I could exercise, but still.
You have to eat when?
But if you
so are you saying that actually the eating when can actually like remove some scars?
Yes, right.
I mean, can remove the impressions from.
The fact is that when you had the confrontation, invariably, I'd say you started to double up on dairy products, eating it twice a day. And therefore the lactic acid will start settling in the kneecap. And if you look back and see, did you start eating more dairy products?
I think I had this conditioning that calcium would be good,
I'm not laughing from your fact of your understanding. It's the rational behavior of a traumatized person to gravitate to the foods to sedate the condition.
Mm-hmm.
And every logical analysis of the brain is going to move toward that particular conviction.
So never go for your first impulse.
Not when it comes to sickness.
Oh, I should do this. Don't do that.
So one time a day you notice the first impression began to bother you.
You mean years ago?
Yeah. And what time of day did it start?
Let's see, I said before the gym. The afternoon.
So around 3 to 4, that is knocked out. So you're automatically refrigerating. So dairy products will eventually tend to stay longer in the body, and you will crave it more for the feeling that calcium is necessary to phase it out. The fact is that
the bladder is involved with a situation like that because it's in the air. Mm. So the bladder got refrigerated too fast from the shock or the trauma or the feeling or the confrontation. Whether it's a male person, whatever the condition that is going on, however the communication between the two of you made you vulnerable, forcing the body to refrigerate. By the time it refrigerated very fast, it showed up as a symptom in the knee. So it didn't show up in the head, which is the actual logical part of the anatomy to analyze yourself. It showed up in the kneecap, which made you humble to your emotional nature. You buckle up in the knee. So your body went through a natural reaction of trapping the lactic acid in the kneecap, forcing you to crave calcium as a means to phase it out. But in an essence way, I backtrack. How old were you when it first when it occurred? What age was you at the time?
I think I was 20.
What occurred between you and your father at age 6?
Six.
Think back, age 6, what happened to you with that?
Choice. I was always off doing things. So the only thing I can think of that in terms of something strong that could happen.
Well, standing on your own 2 feet is what the father wants you to do, so you don't bug him. So the fact that you're off and doing things is trying to assume responsibility, but that's an authoritative push from the father, not from the mother. The mother wants the child at home. Can tolerate the child more than the father who will want to see the room because the noises will make her react to father. Go on, go inside quickly. And fathers are like that, and none of you are ashamed of the father, because the way the father is. He wants the child to be or out of it so he can be at peace with himself. So the next point of question is what time of the day of the year it should have. First 6 months or the last 6 months of the year?
First 6 months.
So it's sometime in summer, just about spring or summer, something took place when you were 6 years of age.
First time I was ever caught stealing things from stores. When I was 6, I don't remember that. Probably in the summer. Because
right.
I was out of school. I was out of school.
All right.
And that was very traumatic.
It is going to be traumatic because your father's going to watch rump all over you. You broke down his image of him. And so the initial trauma leads up to the next one as repetitive condition. But if you were to look at it,
horoscope, you'll see you are zeroing in with certain configurations, and your biorhythms are often a match.
Mm-hmm.
Those conditions have to come up to be lived through.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, the real trauma is not at 6 years of age now, nor at the older age where it occurred to you. The real trauma is at 6 months in the womb, between mom and pop.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the real trauma began. What is the conflict between him and her when she was pregnant with you at a 6 month young? Because her feelings and aggravation and his feelings and aggravations are going to take precedent over sperm and over mogging inside, forcing it to have confrontations when it's born.
Mm-hmm.
So he might himself have had certain mental anguish about certain things, and you have to live it out. So if you are caught doing something that was not practical, it ain't yours, it's his playing back through you. He might have been forced into a situation and then he might have backed off, but then however it's going on in his anguish, you, the child, is the friend of, you have to go through it. But you will get blamed, yes, but he will see his own mistakes as he reflects upon it. His image will be destroyed, yes, but at the same token, he's going to be blaming himself deep down. I did something, and I warrant this kind of disgrace. So, I mean, but you, the child, would not know that until you go through. That's why they say you have to be born again. Ancient techniques of therapy is cellular cleanup,
mm-hmm.
to put things back in their right timing. Because you look at the time, it will always line themselves up with the incidences. So whatever occurred at the 6 month pregnancy would be with your dad and mom and his own emotional life.
Is that what's meant in the Bible when it says the sins of the parents are passed on?
Correct, exactly. That is what they mean. But you see, they remember, in the olden days, they wrote it in an agricultural frame of reference with a guilt complex. You can't blame them for that. That's the only way they know how to write, you see. Today we come and read the result of that program, but as we work through it, we realize that there are no sins, they are just misdirected decisions that are applied incorrectly. But we have to face the condition of making the decision and applying it, like it or not, to be incorrect in the first place, to warrant correction, to warrant forgiveness or compassion, because there's nothing really to forgive, but there's more to learn from expansion of the heart than the expansion of the brain, because the brain made an incorrect decision to act incorrectly. Where is it going to compensate? Only from the heart. So it's a funny anguish in the mechanism, but if the human being is going to lock into the anguish and not look at the potential of the organism, how it's set up to work, then it will be suicidal. Then it's going to say bad self-image and label and get all kind of guilt conditions. But when you begin to look at the structure of the thing, then that starts to phase out and the constructive part takes over. The healthy part takes over. So you begin to focus now on your reality instead of focusing on the past memory banks of being a failure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you first got to go through to recognize it, otherwise you wouldn't know.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they say it can only follow you up to the fourth generation.
Mm-hmm.
So the fourth generation is going to make what? Definite attempt to correct. It's going to sense it, it's going to come into their life with some form, and they're going to run into the confrontation of changing or correcting. So he might be a fourth generation person with the problem that was innately carried over from the parent and not having to have it resolved. So this is why you're facing it out and working out through the system.
Now, how would he approach getting this resolved now based on all his knowing?
Well, the first thing, you'd have to look back at his dietary pattern, what he's putting in. And when he's putting it in,
How is father's confrontation?
The father's confrontation doesn't begin right away until you first start looking at what the body is trying to do by putting in certain foods at the wrong time, overloading it with two materials at the same time. When that starts phasing back to norm, then the emotional reaction between the son and his father is going to start realigning in forms of communication or in the dream state, which is the electrical state. The father is going to start feeling in his body a sense of reaching out to make restitution in some way. But he can't make restitution in some way until it's like two things working back. If I was going to work on the father, his body, his kneecap will start healing. But he can't, I can't work on the father, so I'll have to work through him. By working through him, he automatically releases the pressure in the father's heart. It's a two-way feed, it's feedback, see? That's why they call it biofeedback. We can work on the patient and affect the parent. We can work on the parent and affect the child. So in acupuncture, they call it father-mother law, or father-child law. The basic five-element principle is parent-child response. This, today we know, is genetics therapy between a parent and a child, and a child and a parent. We can work either one of it. Like last week, I was in Santa Fe, and there was a young girl there with her little baby, and she came to me, not suddenly, I saw her, I was up in Grass Valley, where this young baby's place is, Margie, and this woman had her baby. And the baby was up with all kind of aggravation, and the mother's talked to us. But anyway, I worked on the mother, and in a few minutes, the baby is sound asleep. I was releasing her from all the shock of the pregnancy and the frustration that went on after the delivery because of the problems that I had. And then the baby is falling asleep for the first time without me. And when he woke up, he was not the same baby. He didn't behave the same way. His love for her was intact. His reaction to hugging was intact. And she saw it because she was completely relieved. The how she came primarily was because her baby was all kind of a baby. And yet the problem was in her more than in the baby. Now, I couldn't work on the baby because he was too young to understand what I'm going to tell him. So I had to work on the mother to relieve the baby of his reactions of being hyper. Now, it's not possible to work with his father, but to say, working through him, he helps the father. Now, if the father and him have some communication at a later date, it will be towards a phasing down of the anguish between each other and looking at each other more objectively and accepting each other more objectively. But that's a phase back. That's a psychological. So, by and large, we help our parents as much as our parents help us. I'll put it this way. Our parents help us and at the same time cause our illnesses to occur in us. We help our parents by facing the illness and resolving it. So they are relieved of the cause. And they get start getting well too.
Does this tie go back even if someone isn't living?
where can electricity go?
Right.
So, in all essence, when any emotional release is set up in the chemistry of the body, you're dealing with sonics, you have to talk to yourself, which is your cells, and the cells are electrical waves, they are magnetic waves. They are the print-off of a matrix that is the parent, who also is the same functional makeup. So energy is equal to the mass times the velocity of light squared. You couldn't burn up the energy, no matter how you try. If you were to take the total figure of that energy and stretch it out in terms of years, let's say each life was allotted 100 years of work, divided the amount of energy for 100 years, you would see that one incarnation, you'd have to live 53 times the burn of the energy of one incarnation, 100 years each. So it's 53 times 100, that's how long you'd have to live to work out all the energy of one incarnation, let alone trying to say you can hide from or the person pass on. They don't go in. This is atomic physics. We become more conscious that we are interrelated and that the love which the magnetic field holds us. And all we can do is love back. We can't hate. Because hate only feeds it further to come back to confront it. And love dissipates it. Out. So knowing that Dad had some emotional trauma somewhere in the early pregnancy level of your life, forcing you to act a certain way, to break his self-image, is traumatic, yes. But at the same time, by realizing love and facing it back, that I will assume responsibility to light up my life, and therefore I will not kid myself no more, do these actions that will tend to break my center of focus, and then I am living out and correcting Dad's own impressions of himself. So he, no matter if he passes on, he is cleaning up his electrical field. No matter if he's already reincarnated, he wouldn't have to carry that in his electrical field. See, it's compensatory to itself. So each one is a manifestation of God. So really, who's the Son and who's the Father? You see, you go full circle, everybody's a son of. Even Jesus says he's a son of. You see, so it's like we come back to ourselves. And so we correct everything back. And so we have this option to look at the mechanism and lead out the problems. And at the same time, our facing off of all current problems is a cleanup for the matrix. Because the matrix is going to be experiencing a cleanup. So it doesn't matter how many times it's going to be compounding itself back. It's going to go right back to the creative intelligence as its own self-cleaning process. So you see, the whole system is set up to do that. To self-correct itself. Whenever we come to the confrontation, it doesn't matter how long. And it's not set up to dissipate either or go out of business. It's set up to be constantly refining and cleaning up its own self. We look at the animals around us on the planet, and all of them are set up to phase out the others. And so by virtue of that, it's all a process of renewal and cleaning up. On a forward movement as well as a reverse movement.
Is that part of the role of suffering within the human condition?
Yeah.
That's just part of the process.
Let me put it this way. You can't go down a hill without brakes. Because what would happen to you if you had no brakes in your car? You'd be at the mercy of the incline of the hill and the momentum of the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
So if an object is in the way, you're going to be destroyed by the condition of a brakeless vehicle. And yet, you can burn out your brakes trying to stop the vehicle. But it's a whole lot better to burn the brakes and lose your life. So by suffering is a form of psychological breaking on the emotions of our life. So nature sets up suffering as a psychological breaks for all our emotions. And we go up and down in life. We don't go in a straight line in life. Life is not a straight line. Life is a rhythmic process. So what nature has to set up some kind of a braking system for that particular transit. And when we recognize it, we don't fear it no more. We learn to work with it. Jesus knew the dog one well. When he was in the garden of Gethsemane, they're going to beat the hell out of him. And they lived to a cross. But he said, not my will, but thy will be done. He could have run away and hide himself. But he knew that the thing was a downhill movement. There was no way to stop it from going downhill anyhow. He had to go downhill, but the braking system to the downhill movement was the suffering. And the compensation is the going through it. So he went through the suffering to compensate what today is the most outstanding reality of the body. Non-decomposing, and don't have to hang around if it doesn't work. You can pick up your body and fly, like the butterfly. But that's your option. Some people leave it as a momentum of God's values for others to encourage them. Some of them take it as a reminder that don't sell yourselves short for what they are. Learn to live for the individuality of you, not for the society, because you can't build society, you build you. So they leave us these models all the time of this uniqueness. So it makes you look at yourself more, what you really are, because many of us get locked into, oh, I'm not nice, I'm not intelligent, and I'm not rich. All these kind of labels can put us into frames of breakdown. But Jesus, when he was doing his testing, he tested himself with food, and everyone knows a human being will kill for food. And that's a phenomenon that is very nature. Yet he fasted to show that man didn't live by eating food in order not to be destructive to his fellow man or anything, just for sake to eat still life. And that the human being was centered to live on sonics. By the same token, the sonics can raise or lower the weight. What you tell yourselves, they will have to do. And therefore he gave this very simple statement. This body, man, doesn't live by bread alone. It's the indirect form of food or nutrient. But by every word, every conviction, statement, and sound presence that proceeds out of the mouth of God, you stick to yourself what you are. That's what your body will nurture. Then the next test is, throw yourself off the mountain. And the Father will send angels to catch you lest you hurt your feet. That is a suicidal threat. When we have the false belief that we have a force,